playing these games, you play in this division, you find out who's real, who's not real quick.
It's about how you finish, and this story isn't written yet.
Stafford walks a throw for a touchdown. Odell Beckham Jr. running ahead of everyone is Van Jefferson.
That is an insanely accurate throw. Marco Wilson sitting there going, you got to be kidding me.
Connor and the Cardinals push the pile. And it's a 7-point game. Bounces around. Arizona Cardinals football. Murray stays on his feet. Now he'll go down. It's a 3-sack performance for Aaron Donald. And that's how this one ends.
Hey, it's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get a people! What they want.
Jalen Rose repping the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy Jaguars today. And we will get to Steph Curry, primed to break the 3-point record. But we start where the Monday Night Football game ended. An action-packed, back-and-forth game that had a little twist at the end. A weirdly successful onside kick gave the Cardinals an opportunity to tie the game, maybe win the game. However, seemed like everyone else thought that Kyler Murray was going to spike the ball, but he did not spike the ball, and he got spiked by Aaron Donald, who waved goodbye to the Cardinals and their fans. Jalen, Cooper Kupp has been consistently good all year long. What do you think about him last night?
How about the answer to a trivia question going into this season? Who's going to be the most productive wide receiver in the game? Most catches, most reception yards, and most touchdowns. Cooper Kupp, in his first season playing with Matthew Stafford and losing Robert Woods, his other ace, and adding OBJ, who caught a touchdown. Adding Jefferson, who also caught a touchdown. And so this is why you want Matthew Stafford in LA. Because you have Sean McVay on the sideline dialing up plays. You have the Cronkies budget getting you a new home in Los Angeles and doing whatever they got to do to improve the roster. And so this guy right here, when you start talking about MVP candidates, you're looking at one right there.
Interesting. And I'm glad you mentioned this is his first season with Matthew Stafford, because Matt Stafford started the season so hot and the Rams as a whole cooled off, but they looked good last night, especially Matt Stafford getting the ball into the end zone a lot.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it was a big stage. And being a member of the Lions for so very long, you could put all of the bad stats of Matt Stafford against teams with 5+ games above 500. Or Monday Night Football record. Like, he's in a new situation. And like I was telling you when he was on our team, if he has a chance to go to the Hall of Fame, he needs to be free. Now, it's a couple of seasons later as far as I'm concerned, but I'm glad to see him having a rebirth with the Rams and them starting themselves to look more and more like a contending team, and they're doing it without Jalen Ramsey, who missed the game.
And Higbee, and they were missing a handful of players who were on the COVID protocol list, but they had number 99. And number 99 started the game in the most vicious way possible. Poor Max Garcia just got pushed into his own quarterback on like one of the first snaps of the game, and it was a rough night from there for the Cardinals offense. A couple turnovers, a lot of sacks. Jalen, what do you think about this Rams defense coming together?
They did a terrific job of smothering my guy Kyler Pesce, right? You get Aaron Donald to get that press up the middle. You get the rush off the edges. And all of a sudden, even like that final play, even though the other teammates thought he was going to spike the ball. But like you said, Aaron Donald, 3 sacks on the day. Kyler Murray, 2 interceptions on the day. They did a terrific job of bottling him up.
They did do a good job of bottling him up. However, Kyler Murray is impossible to bottle up. It seemed like whenever he was in trouble, he would just like run back around in these wide loops. He threw some really nice throws. Like, this was a tough loss for the Cardinals in their division, but I walk away from this one pretty encouraged about the way that the Cardinals can move the ball, especially Kyler Murray with his legs. This was a tough loss for them in the standings. They no longer are the number one seed in the NFC. They go down to number 3. Do you think that they can keep their slim hold on this division?
I do. Like, they've consistently been amongst the best teams in the league, best record-wise. DeAndre Hopkins didn't have his signature big game. AJ Green did have a big game. I believe that the Cardinals still are going to be a team that can be, to be contended with in the NFC.
I know he's our guy, but that was a huge drop on fourth down from DeAndre Hopkins. A huge drop that could have changed the game. They're in the red zone, poised to score, but that's football.
And he never has drops. He never has drops. I mean, for the first few seasons, there was a stat about him never having drops.
All eyes are on the Golden State Warriors and specifically Steph Curry, who was in Indiana last night with an opportunity to break Ray Allen's three-point record. He did not. It sets the stage for tonight, but we'll get to that first. Let's listen to Steph talk about the record.
With the relief part, I get what he's saying just in terms of the buildup and, you know, not really knowing what game it's going to be. And I'm enjoying the moment. You're knocking on the doorstep. It's pretty surreal, but it's also trying to just let it happen. Like, it's one thing I learned over these last three games is keep playing basketball, keep taking shots you think you'll make, and enjoy the experience of it because it's a long time coming.
Jalen, what do you think?
It's great how he understands how to master the moment, right? He has a flair for the dramatic. And a couple of games ago, he needed 16. And going into that game, he said, maybe I can knock 16 down. He wished he would not have said that. Because what ends up happening, and I saw this when they were playing at Philly, the defense just suffocate the three line and leaves 15-footers and 18-footers open. They left cutters open. You could have basically got a backdoor layup. And so what Steph started to do that I respected, he actually started to play basketball. Of course, they're trying to get him the record and they're trying to feed him as much as possible. But he's just not coming down launching threes from half court and taking away from their offense. But it's tough not to do with that anticipation happening. But we know he's going to make two against your New York Knickerbockers. We know that. And
listen,
they were a 4 seed last year. They're flirting to be a play-in team this year. And so based on the stage, Steph Curry is always balled at the Garden. As a matter of fact, he took it personal that New York didn't draft him. So yes, he's going to be ready to set the stage and break the record tonight.
This could not have gone better for the league, for Steph, for New York City. To have it happen, I mean, listen, Indianapolis is a great basketball town. You spent your best years there, but to have it happen in the Garden at MSG. He only needs two. He's going to get it. They'll probably stop the game and do a little ceremony. He'll get a standing ovation, and hopefully it'll be a tight game at the end. But when I saw that he had seven to get and they're playing the Pacers, I was like, ooh, I really hope he doesn't get it so he can get it tonight in the Garden. We will discuss that later. But there's something I want to discuss from you. There's a very interesting in the NBA. Bleacher Report put out a list of teams that are reportedly interested in the service of Ben Simmons. The New York Knicks, who we just discussed, were among those teams. Also, we have the Lakers, the Timberwolves, the Blazers, the Kings, the Pacers, and the Cavs. Jalen, do you think we're getting closer to a deal?
I don't believe so, and here's why. Philadelphia, while they're motivated clearly to move Ben Simmons because all of the categories where he affects the game are where they're weak at. Their offensive efficiency, their defensive tenacity in particular on the perimeter. Like, he's an all-NBA defender. But the problem with this deal is what may be getting offered versus what you may potentially be able to do in the future. And if you're Daryl Morey, you got to rely on your previous relationship with James Harden and think, I want to sit back and wait and monitor how that's going to play out.
Whoa.
With the Nets.
Whoa.
Because for me, if Kyrie doesn't play this year, it's going to probably put KD in a position to where it's like almost choosing Harden versus KD. I mean, Harden versus Kyrie. Because remember, Harden isn't signed beyond this year. He has a player option beyond this year. Mm-hmm. And he can opt out of, for I believe, $40 million. So say he opts out and says he wants to go to Philly. Both teams then have to be motivated to do a sign and trade at some point. So you look at these deals, and I don't think you're going to get what I consider true value for Ben Simmons right now, because he struggled the last time we saw him. He didn't show up at camp, and he didn't replay his value. So now instead of me getting a top 15, top 20 player, you're not getting a guy that was an all-star last year or an all-star this year. So that's not the true value for Ben Simmons. So of course, all of those teams are interested because he's a really talented player.
Well, he is, and some of these are hilarious. Like the Lakers are interested. Like if it's not Russell Westbrook, what are you gonna trade THT for Ben Simmons? Like what are we even talking about here? But it's interesting to hear you talk about eyeing James Harden and KD having to decide between Kyrie and James because the Nets are number one in the Eastern Conference. KD just put up 51 in Detroit. Like we talk about this team, like they're underperforming. But in my mind, they've got a great shot at winning the conference and going to the finals, and then we don't have to change anything about them.
See. Hold on, that's two separate conversations. Like, for anybody that pays attention to team building and relationships, things are gonna change if Kyrie don't play this year. Things are gonna change. Those relationships change some. And you're right, they are number one in the East. KD does lead the league in scoring. And I'm so very happy he torched my Detroit Pistons like an old school throwback scorer who just shows up in the middle of the week and gets buckets. Like, I know all of that, but you also just said title contender? Stop it, Jacoby. They're not winning a championship without Kyrie, and you know it. So that's the buzzkill. It's we're going to appreciate them in a regular season, no doubt. But if y'all don't look at James Harden and feel like sometimes he looks like the Harden in Houston, and then sometimes he looks like the Harden from the Nets this year. And I'm just talking about his aggression offensively. And so based on that, I believe that if Kyrie does not play this year, that's gonna make it awkward for everybody involved. James went to go play with KD and Kyrie, not just one of the two.
Well, Kyrie's messing up our timeline because we had him playing around Thanksgiving, didn't we? Like, come on, Kyrie.
I want to see you on Christmas. We said holiday season. We still got to get through the new year.
Yeah, we got to get through the new year. We got some time. Come on, Kyrie.
He's showing love. I see him with your game yesterday, and he's showing love.
Sierra Canyon. Mr. Rose, Jokic had himself a game last night, but he also got himself ejected. I'm going to do the media thing and say, does Jokic have a temper problem? We'll discuss that and much more right after this. NBA on ESPN, doubleheader Wednesday night, 7:30, starts with the Lakers traveling to Dallas to take on the Mavericks, and then in the nightclap at 10 p.m., it is the Clippers going up against the Jazz. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby here from the Seaport in New York City and brought to you by Chase. Mr. Rose, Nikola Jokic was having himself a night last night. He put up, let me get this right, 28 points, 19 rebounds, and 9 assists. And guess what? He would have gotten that 10th assist to get himself the triple-double, but you know what happened? He got kicked out of the game. After getting elbowed in the face, he took offense that the foul was called on him, yelled at the ref, got kicked out of the game. We've seen Jokic involved in a few incidents over the years. Does our guy, the stretch mark five, have a temper problem?
Not at all, not at all. Stop. No. He just frustrated. Because just think about it now. The last couple of years, the Nuggets quietly have been one of the best teams in the Western Conference. And he went from being a guy that was a second round pick to a league MVP. And he's putting up numbers like we have not seen. 26, 13, and 7. You know how many people in the history of the NBA have ever averaged that? Nobody. And so now he's shorthanded, Jacoby, and he got to win every possession. And so now without Murray, without Michael Porter Jr., mistakes get magnified. Close calls get heightened. And then that's when you start to be frustrated as a do-it-all player for their team and an anomaly in the league. Joel Embiid is the most physically imposing dominant big we have in the game, but he's the most skilled and dominant big we have in the game, the way he does it with his passing and how he initiates offense as a point center. And so that's more of what it is. And it was still good to see Monte Morris play well, Aaron Gordon play well, but I think that's what it is. It's more trying to win and fight for every possession.
You mentioned the play of Morris and Gordon, and obviously without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., they're going to need players like that to step up. Can they climb in the conference and get themselves into a true playoff position, maybe win a first-round series without those two stars?
I don't think they can advance too far in the playoffs. Maybe a first round, depending on the matchup, because Jokic is that dominant, but you just don't miss players like that. You don't miss two of your big three and get better. They're just shorthanded right now.
Two players were missing from last night's Hornets-Mavs game. Luka out, LaMelo Ball in protocol. However, still an interesting game. Kristaps Porzingis stepped up. Gave him 24 points, 13 rebounds, 5 blocks. Is this the KP that you expect to see?
Well, those three plays is what you should embody from him if you're a Mavs fan. One on the baseline catching a lob. Two at the top of the floor shooting a three, and the other one blocking a shot. He's 7'3". That's why he was called the unicorn. And by the way, it wasn't just him. You saw the Michigan Wolverines out there. You see Tim Hardaway Jr.?
Wolverines?
You see Trey Burke? Oh, you know what? It's the season for Michigan, right? The Jim Harbaugh win coach of the year? Did Michigan win the Big Ten title?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That did happen, right? We had a game on the 31st dome. We had a game
against Georgia on the 31st, right?
Ain't that in the college playoff? And then we
enjoy
win
it.
That game. Oh, okay.
Then we're doing the music now? We're doing the music now?
You saw my
and
guys
we got
out there
Juwan,
balling.
And we got Juwan coaching the basketball team. We've got the Orange Bowl against Georgia in the college football playoffs. And as you mentioned, Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr. contributing for a win in the NBA last night. Moving on, Jalen Rose, something that's been bubbling around the media from Jacksonville for quite some time now. We know what happened when Urban Meyer went to Urban's Pint House in Columbus, and then there were some reports that he had meetings and questioned the resumes of his assistant coaches, and he got into an argument with Marvin Jones Jr. Now, Jaguars owner Shad Khan said he will not make a hasty decision when it comes to Urban Meyer. Now, Jalen, here's a question I want to ask you. There's three ways this can go. One, he stays the head coach for a long time, probably not going to happen. Two, he gets fired and then they have to pay him. Three, he resigns and some sort of deal gets made. How do you see this playing out?
MC8 once said, because it's all for the money. Jill, I just need to see the fine print in the deal. Because I believe going into this season, this contract is fully guaranteed. Mm-hmm. After that situation at the Pine House, I wonder if it got modified or not. If it didn't get modified and you fire him and you still have to pay him the next couple of years to not coach, you're better off potentially keeping him as the coach if you think that he can do the job. I'm of the mind that he's shown really that he's not the future of the team.
Mm-mm.
And so based on that alone and the Trevor Lawrence dynamic and who he's rushing and out of the backfield and is he playing favoritism there? And so based on that, he was a terrific and successful collegiate coach. I just don't see him having success on a professional level. And so based on that, if you're the Jaguars of the NFL, we're the Jaguars of the city of Detroit, I think you realize that now and you go ahead and make the change this offseason.
I think so too. I mean, if you think about his tenure there, remember he hired a strength and conditioning coach with a really questionable history, brought in Tim Tebow, started losing. Now he's arguing with his own staff. He's telling the leaks he's going to fire. He's arguing with the players. They're not winning games. He seems disinterested. If I'm Shad Khan, I sit him down and I say, listen, let's work something out. Because I will make you miserably coach this team next year, but let's work something out. And I think they come to some sort of buyout deal, and he is not the head coach of the Jaguars next year. Jalen, tonight, the world's most famous arena will host Steph Curry and the Warriors against the Knicks. Steph only needs 2 3-pointers. What an evening it's going to be. We'll get you ready right after this.
You only got one shot to make it, one shot at greatness.
Obviously, I understand how much the game has changed, how much I've had a part in that.
Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
I'm still blown away. There's never been anybody like him.
This year, when it started, it was like, this is the milestone that's ahead. I remember watching the game when Ray passed Reggie, and 11 years later, it's me in that conversation.
62!
Watches it up.
The shooting zone like very few have ever been.
I've been asked about it, you know, for a couple years now, what it would mean and all that.
It'll happen when it happens.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Ray passed Reggie. Steph is about to pass Ray. However, the way Steph gets his threes just looks so different from those other two shooters.
Like I told you, it's not just a point or a shooter. He's a vanguard, the leader of the new school. And the thing is, the guys he mentioned, Reggie Miller and Ray Allen, why his look different is he has elite handles also. Both of those guys did a terrific job of coming off screens and flares and single doubles, and they were both clutch as well. But Steph gets his off the dribble. And then volume, the number of times that he's made at least 9 in the game. How about that? And then unlimited range, shoot from 30 plus feet. And so this is something, a player we have not seen, and he's putting up a high score that's going to be almost impossible to take down.
And he's doing it in so many less games than Ray Allen did. We'll be back tomorrow to discuss it. ESPN 2, 4 o'clock. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen Rose, a couple things I want to discuss with you. One, I don't think you've seen yet, and it involves your two favorite football teams. Todd McShay put out his very first mock draft, and the Lions, currently at 111-1, have the number one pick, 1-1-1-1. And with that number one pick, Todd McShay forecasted that their quarterback is the real problem. But there's no real number one pick quarterback in this year's class. So he decided an edge rusher would be nice. Aiden Hutchinson from the University of Michigan, Wolverine, who's propelled his team. How do you feel about potentially adding Aiden Hutchinson's
What they chose to do in this year's draft is the answer to your question. You have to stick to that philosophy, even if it was flawed this year. And that was, they took an offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of other players they could have taken in this year's draft, right?
There's a bunch of Justin Fields would be nice in that uniform, maybe a little Mac Jones.
So since they didn't do so, in the upcoming draft, you take a defensive lineman and a game-changing one. You see the kind of impact Chase Young and the Bosa brothers have?
Miles Garrett
comes
to mind.
That's the kind of impact Aiden Hutchinson is going to have.
Mm-hmm.
We need that. We need that. Absolutely take him number one. Don't even think twice about it. There isn't an undisputed number one quarterback.
No.
And we are the Lions. Even if it was, we might mess it up anyway. You can't mess up an edge rusher.
No.
Go get the quarterback. Go get the running back. Can't mess that up.
And they also have, I think, a second first round pick. They could probably look at some other positions, but Hutchinson at number one, I think, would be a no-brainer, especially for the Lions. And one thing I think was interesting is Ojabo was also in McShay's like top 12 too. Look forward to watching those two rush the Georgia quarterback and destroy the Georgia running backs on the 31st. Just enjoy these next few days, Jalen. This is right now. Michigan football is undefeated. They're undefeated in December. You know, they're undefeated
in December.
So you enjoy that. More Michigan Detroit news. Eminem and Dr. Dre have a new song out.
Ooh.
I haven't heard it. They just released a snippet on the Grand Theft Auto soundtrack. Some of the greatest songs ever made in the history of the hip hop medium were because of these two putting their heads together. How excited are you for the new Dre and Eminem track?
I'm extremely excited. And the one thing about like the good Dr. Dre is you and I both know if he don't think it's dope, it ain't coming out.
Mm-hmm. In his documentary, they certainly painted this picture that he wasn't just a perfectionist. He was like a perfectionist. Like, that's why right. You don't get a lot of music from him, is because, like, he needs it extremely polished. Unlike our guy, who was that, Conway, who's just like, I just rap and just put it out.
Exactly. And so based on that fact, and Marshall Mathers having bars! And I've told you that Dr. Dre is the most influential hip-hop producer / artist in the history of the game. Never taking anything away from the legends that we stand on their shoulders. But Dre been in the game, for y'all that don't know, since the late 70s. And those headphones y'all wearing, they're named after somebody, Dr. Dre. I don't know if y'all realize that. It's like the Foreman grill. Like, yep. Oh yeah, he fought Muhammad Ali once. Yeah, that's the Foreman grill. That's those headphones y'all wearing, they're because of Dr. Dre, literally. And so, of course, I'm looking forward to any of his new projects. You know what else I'm looking forward to? A couple of things. Shout to the Power Universe and Jamel Hill. I see you, sis, making an appearance. I ain't mad at you. Way to represent the 313.
She was in Power Book 2 Ghost. She made a cameo appearance.
That's
shout
dope.
To her.
You know what I'm saying? And also, shout to 50, who I heard him and our guy Snoop Dogg is doing a Murder Was the Case series.
Murder Was the Case. It's 50 got stars. They should just rename the network. You know what I mean? It's going to be like Jay-Z and Def Jam. They're just going to put him in control. There's going to be like 50. This is your network. Good for 50 Cent. Good for him. I mean, he's got a lot.
Shout to Curtis Jackson. Make sure you download that episode of The Renaissance Man where I have 50 on there talking about all of the programs he had. He had 25 shows currently in production. I was like, dog, you can't name them.
You can't name them. Yeah, you can't name them all. That'd be impossible. It's also a lot of them, I'm sure, in development.
Dog, he started naming them. You know what I'm saying? He was focused. I was like, dog, I'm just joking, dog.
He's getting at least 7 figures from every one of those. So good for Curtis 50 Cent Jackson.
He had named like about 10. I was like, dog, I'm just joking, man. It's all right.
Yeah, it's like we don't have the 25 minutes for you to do this. We can't have this podcast be that long.
But he told me something smart that I kind of do in a lot of ways. If I'm trying to like identify something, he was like, when he came with the characters for Power and he talked to Courtney Kemp, shout to the executive producer, who she's killing it too. He said that he pitched each character playing a song that he wanted that character to mimic. So for Ghost, you play a song. For Tommy, you play a song. For Angela, you play a song. Like, that's how he wanted their character to be. And I thought, that's really smart. Because music, for me, is the soundtrack to my life in a lot of ways.
And people express themselves differently. Like, a lot of times when you're developing characters like that, like, you do, like, a character profile where you have this specific sheet where you write up their biography and their traits and their backgrounds and their style and their age and their interest in their the way they fit into the story, and 50 Cent wasn't gonna do all that work. You know what I mean? He's like that's for the writers. Like, the writers can do that. What I'll do is I'll give them the inspiration and the vibe and give them a top line idea, and that's how he speaks. He speaks through his music. He's obviously a great musician and very successful one at that. Mr. Rose, we have something else I want to discuss with you. Your guy Chauncey. We've been keeping an eye on Portland.
Phillips!
We always talk about whether or not they should trade Dame, or can you package CJ and maybe get Ben? And CJ's obviously got health issues now. Dame's got it dealing with his own health issues, and things aren't going great in Portland. When you lose like they're losing, you know, the rumors start swirling. The latest is this from Bleacher Report that, quote, multiple league sources with knowledge of the situation cited player frustration with Billups' coaching demeanor and the team's offensive system. I know Chauncey very little, a lot less than you, but I love that man. And he's got a great demeanor. So what do you make of these multiple sources saying that players are frustrated with his coaching demeanor and offensive system?
I'm just so glad I'm not a casual. And I remember coming on this show last year talking about Steven Silas is going to do a good job with the Rockets. But it sounds like a tree falling in the forest when the team is losing 15 in a row, right? So now he turns the team around, and now the Houston Rockets have become one of the stories of the NBA. Ime Udoka started off earlier in the year trying to figure his team out. Jaylen Brown is dealing with some injuries. Marcus Smart goes to the podium and he talks about sharing. And Ime talks about how their best players need to get more creative in distributing the ball. The Boston Celtics last night had the second most passes in any game that they've had this year. Marcus Smart, who I've told you for years is their best passer. Normally people say defender. Had 11 assists, as I mentioned. They just had a big win against the Bucks, who they've had success against recently. They're doing just fine. JB Bickerstaff takes over the Cleveland Cavs. They start building through the lottery. You see Kevin Love now balling because he's going to be eligible for buyout, potentially. He got another year left on his deal. If we can't buy him out, we got to play his value up so we can trade him. So JB's ushering that in. While navigating a young core of five players right now is Sexton and Garland, Okoro, Jared Allen, who they just signed this offseason, and Evan Mobley, who's going to be an incredible player for a long time. I said, as I was looking at them play on Countdown one night, I'm like, whose future would you take, Jacoby? I ask you right now, whose future would you take the next 3 to 5 years? The Cavs, and I'm going to get to your Chauncey Billups. The Cavs or the Sixers?
I know you're going to say Cavs. The Ben Simmons deal plays a lot into this. But for the sake of argument, I'll say 76ers.
Okay.
Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. How many potential MVP candidates do you have on that Cavs roster? How many? Name one. Even the one that could develop into an MVP. Do you have one? No. I got one. Joel Embiid.
You do?
I got one. So you got? I got that premier scorer, that top 15 talent, right? I got him. You don't have that.
You
don't even see. And I don't know what people are going to develop into. Evan Mobley looks great. Who knows? But like, he doesn't feel like an MVP type of candidate, right? Now I also have whatever Ben Simmons is going to turn into. He's going to turn into something, right? So he's going to be a good supporting player. And then you've got, you know, your Tobias Harris's and your Curry's and your Maxey's. So I would say the presence of Joel Embiid is my main number one point as to why I would rather have the future of the 76ers, because you have something that's so hard to find. Even if you have number one pick after number one pick after number one pick, like the Cavs have had in the last couple decades, that is the foundation which you can build a house on.
Okay, now we're gonna recall that as these next couple of years progress, as I get to my next point, Chauncey Billups. He's gonna do a good job. You know when your demeanor ain't good?
Losing.
Y'all losing.
Exactly. You know when you're losing, you don't have your best players playing.
Like some of this stuff that I hear get reported, right? I'm like, clearly somebody has never played sports or did anything competitive. Because you know how my demeanor is when we're losing? It's terrible.
Well, also, when you talk about people's demeanor, again, like, I've spent time around Chauncey, but I don't, like, know him. If this was a Jalen story, I'd be like, yeah, I could see that. But I just can't see it when it comes to coaching demeanor about Chauncey Billups. He's, like, the most calm, cool, collected, considered, polite, and like, less emotional businessman that I've ever been around. So, like, wait, he ain't Jalen. You know what I mean?
And the other thing I want to say is this. The other teams that I just named have Kevin Porter Jr., Kenyon Martin Jr., Jalen Green, Christian Wood. Eric Gordon's still playing well for them. Can possibly parlay John Wall. Got some draft picks coming up. When you get a chance, you tell me. What's exciting about the Blazers' future other than Dame and CJ? It's time to blow that up. This ain't a Chauncey thing. This situation has expired. They made 8 or 9 straight playoffs. They've had times where they make it to the conference finals. They got times they got swept out of the first round. But either way, what they have never been able to acquire is a dynamic wing. There's a reason why they had a job for Carmelo, because they were still trying to fill that spot.
Mm-hmm. Covington was supposed to fill that spot, but he isn't the Covington from the 76ers anymore.
And when you don't look around the game now, when KD come to town, you need somebody that could at least try to guard him. Paul George, like, that's where they've struggled. Their miniature backcourt is dynamic offensively. Mama's boys, you know how much we love them. Dame up for $100 million extension.
I have to say something
and
about
CJ's
the Mama's boys.
Injured.
You talked about them making the playoffs for like 8-9 years in a row, right? It was after about 3 of those. The story the next day after they got bounced from the playoffs was, should they break up these two? We said that for like 5 years in a row. And we said that for
in
5
LA.
Years in a row for
we
a reason.
We was in LA saying it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's been like every year when they get bounced in the playoffs, we say, should they break these two up? And I think you can say no 3 times, but after a while, like, the answer is just inherently yes. It's just inherently yes. Then even when they did make the conference finals, they were not competitive in those conference finals at all. So I love those two players. I don't think they're the complementary pieces that they need to be.
And by the way, none of that has to do with Chauncey Billups. And last, let me mm-hmm. accentuate your second point. You said that they're having problems with his offense, right?
His demeanor and his offensive system.
When you get a chance, tell me who they should be running offense for without Dame and CJ.
Larry Nance, Norman Powell. Nurkic, you know, that's what it is. It's like, it's Covington, it's Nance, it's Nurkic, it's Norman Powell. Like, that's what you're doing. And when you got that, again, I like those players individually, but collectively, that's not going to win you a lot of games in a Western Conference schedule.
But you can put Red R back on that team right now.
Yeah, no. And it could be Pop. Phil Jackson, Red Harbaugh.
They can all be on the same staff if you want.
Yeah, exactly. You can have
ain't
all.
No change in that.
Yeah, it's
not
they're not going to win that many more games. They're not going to win many
season.
More games. Mm-mm. So, one new coach I noticed you didn't mention is Willie Green. Because before the season started, before a ball was thrown up in the middle of an NBA arena, I would have expected the Pelicans I'm trying to think of almost all the teams that you named. Now, obviously, we know different because we watched them play 30 games. But if you can time travel back to then, I would expect the Pelicans to be better than all the teams you named, I think.
How?
I'm just saying, Zion.
How?
Zion, Brandon Ingram. Like, those are stars right there. When you're talking about, you're naming, like, Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. You know what I mean? And I would rather, now that I know what I know, so you're not doing the exercise. You're not doing the exercise. You go back to before the season started, you would have picked the Pelicans to be better than the Rockets. You would have picked the Pelicans to be better than the Cavs. You would have. I know you would have. You're just not doing the exercise.
I'm about to do an exercise for you called mental gymnastics.
Okay.
News flash. Zion Williamson hasn't played.
I understand,
probably,
sir.
Won't play this year.
You're not doing the exercise.
Was injured at the beginning of the season and just returned recently. Two, no team wins without their two best players. When you get a chance, tell me who you think should be balling on the Pelicans besides those two.
I'm not. You know, if you're not gonna play my game, I'm not playing your game. Okay.
Before the season started,
Zion was going to be available. Brandon Ingram was going to be available. They added Devontae Graham. They added Valanciunas. Like, the expectations before the season started were pretty high for the Pelicans.
So
watched the games.
Hey, this is a bad example. Like, just so you know, there are certain times where there are bad examples. Like, this is a bad example, I promise you.
Okay.
Like, I look back at some examples I make, I'll be like, that was a bad example. This is a bad example.
We can move on, but you're not doing the mental exercise. You need to do some mental stretches.
All right, what are you asking? Let's do the mental exercise. Mental stretches. What are you asking me? Hold on. So let me clarify what you're saying, my brother.
Okay, let me say it.
You're asking me at the beginning of the season which one of those teams that I name would have just as good or better record than the healthy Pelicans.
Yes. Would you expect?
The reason why that's a bad example, because the Pelicans aren't healthy.
I understand. So we can move on, jerk.
I do it all the time, man. That's fine.
No, we'll take people behind the curtain. Sometimes we'll be eating lunch after the show or whatever, and Jalen just pumps something. You gotta stop saying that. What was the big one? What was the biggest one? Oh, when you were wrong. It was like we compared Draymond to somebody. What was that one? You got so mad on the conference call. Oh, someone on the staff remind me about this. Someone compared Draymond to Simmons. I think that's what it was, right? It was something like that. You got so mad. Whoever said that, they don't know basketball. You got so angry. You got like emotional. And I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm on the call. It's early in the morning. I'm sitting there. I'm on the call. I'm like, he's so mad about this. I'm not gonna go back and forth with him. But there's some similarities. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like comparing Steph to Joel Embiid. You know what I mean? There are some parallels. But you were so mad about that example that I was like, that's fine. I'm just gonna leave this one alone. Like, I'm not gonna poke this bear because he's mad. You're emotional about that one.
The number one Draymond factoid that people overlook that make him unique, and I just stood next to him the other day. I did this mental exercise again.
Mental gymnastics, you're getting so mentally strong.
I'm the same height as Draymond Green, and he's in the NBA Garden Centers one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. That's Draymond's number one attribute.
Well, as Draymond an NBA Green player. Had the following quote: "You can't just be a great on-ball defender. You can't just be a great weak side defender. I think I put all those together better than anybody in the history of the game." Now, I'm not going to sit here and argue about whether or not Draymond is the greatest defender in the history of the NBA. I'm just going to say I love that he said that out loud into a microphone. Shout to him. Shout to him just for having that philosophy that he's the greatest defender of all time.
Well, that's how tags start, right? Jada, after his first album, called himself top five DOA.
That was way after his first album.
People was
whatever,
even
yeah.
calling him that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had an album named Top Five Dead or Alive. Yeah, it's just like, that's how I feel about me.
Correct. And now every time because he got bars when you introduce him. Whether you believe that to be the case or not, you're gonna still call him top five DOA because that's his tag. And so for Draymond, it's the exact same thing. The players that I know that deserve to be in that conversation, of course, the award is named after Bill Russell. Others that I want to make sure I mention? Well, three others. Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan, I've said this, were the only two players I ever played against that I felt like they were the best player on both ends the entire time.
That's a good point. Hard to argue with that.
The entire time. And that's why, like, they're the only two, along with Kawhi, who deserves to be in this conversation, to win Defensive Player of the Year and Finals MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I'll interject another name that Draymond will appreciate that deserves mention in this conversation. His nickname is The Worm, Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. Because you know what a big part of our defense is? Rebounding. People always think about like defending players, stopping them from scoring and blocking shots and getting steals or whatever. It's like, you know, you say it. This is one of your sayings. Say it.
The possession ain't over until we get the rebound.
That's part of defense. You got to turn defense into offense somehow.
I do all of that. Soon somebody get an offensive rebound, watch the defense shoulder slump. People are like, oh.
Listen. What I'm saying? It's a lot harder to take the ball out of the basket and go to the baseline and then score than it is to get the rebound and get moving. Well, big shout to Draymond's confidence. If he doesn't toot his own horn, there's no music. It's just silence.
Correct.
So he doesn't toot his own horn.
And so since we are doing comparisons, I like Dennis Rodman and Draymond Green comparison better than Ben Simmons. What do you think?
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Now you see why I got mad.
Yeah. No, I mean, we can talk about that another time. It's obviously an emotional, touchy subject for you. But, you know, they're both great passers. They're both great defenders.
They're not great jump shooters.
There's comparisons. There's parallels. I'm not saying they're the same player, but there's parallels. But you honestly, on the call, there's no shots. Just behind the scenes, on the call, it was like someone said, like, you know, Matthew Dellavedova and Joel Embiid had the same game. Big shout to Dellavedova. Didn't know he was playing in Australia. Got dunked on. Got dunked on. Big shout to him.
Isaiah Thomas balling in the G League. I'm going to have to get him back on the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got to talk to you about something, Jay. This is important. My last rec league performance was so bad that I think I might retire for real this time. I think I might retire from rec league. I'll play pickup. But I don't know if I can do rec league anymore. It was so bad. I airballed a three. I had like a 6-foot shot and it went off the front rim and went right back to me. And I shot it again and went off the front rim again.
Oh my goodness.
It was bad, Jay. Bad,
well,
0 points.
I'm picking up the baton.
I'm
picking up the baton for the show.
I didn't feel good.
As you dwindle into retirement, I'm ramping up.
I'm just going to play pickup. Pickup is better exercise, more fun, more shots, more buckets.
It's just a
better experience.
Any games this week?
No, we're off for the holiday, so I got some time to reflect. I need a shooting coach. I'm going to get Chris Brickley. I'm going to pay him $200 just to get Lonzo Ball my shot. Because right now it doesn't feel good. Even in warm-ups, dog. Like, I'll be warming up. And my teammates were like, you know when you miss, and usually like they get to shoot now? My teammates like keep passing me the ball, be like, you need to work that out. It's embarrassing. When I shot a three, like they're so excited, they're like, yeah, Jacoby, yeah. They're just like, they're just to see me shoot. It's awful. And I know they talk about me behind my back, you know, after in beers when I go to the bathroom. Yeah, exactly. Like, I know that, like, after the game, we lost to a team that we shouldn't have lost. We lost bad to a team we shouldn't have lost bad to. It was sad beers. No one wants to talk. We were watching like, the Vikings game from last week. And when I go to the bathroom, I know they're just like, yo, Jacoby had 0 points tonight. He kind of sucks. Like, I don't know what we're going to do with this guy. For real. It's making me sad. I want to retire.
Call 985-80-JALEN to tell me why I shouldn't retire. And we will be back tomorrow.
I guess we are done. We are done.